Yeah, well, I think one of the things that perhaps when we consider our work for other people is that we're both in quite separate things, aren't we? In this modern world, you're seen as an artist, and I'm seen as a writer or poet or something somebody concerned with philosophy. And they kind of, there's a certain disconnect there, isn't there?
There is indeed, and I always think back to that very first day that we met by the side of the river here in Hathersage, and how quickly we actually connected, even yeah. though one, we'd only just met, and two, within a very short time, we found that we were on the same wavelength,
yes.
even though we're coming from two very different worlds.
Yes, and I remember in that opening conversation, we started talking quite a lot about reflection, because I think you were kind of a little bit surprised, perhaps, about the fact that I was taking photographs, but not general landscape photographs, but actually highly kind of little
yes.
focused
details, yes.
details of trees and roots and such like. And you were a bit surprised by that, I think.
Indeed, I was, yeah.
And I think we then talked quite a lot about reflection and movement in water, didn't we?
Yes.
And that started us off thinking, well, let's work together.
Yeah.
That's quite exciting.
That's what did it, yes. Because, I mean, the reflection, of course, is such a is such a very interesting concept. To see something in reflection changes the way you view the world.
Yeah.
And whether you'll see that reflection, of course, simply by picking up a camera and looking through a viewfinder,
yeah.
If that's the route you're taking, that in itself is a reflection and therefore changes the way that you view the world.
Yes. And I was thinking, because I've been thinking quite a lot since we met, which was, I guess it was about 18 months ago now.
It was indeed.
When we first met, I was thinking, well, how can we conceive of this working together? We need some kind of common language, because in a way, the specialism of your art and the specialism of the writing, poetry and such like that I do, the associated languages all separate us, don't they?
They do indeed, yes.
That was what I was puzzling about for quite some time. How do we conceive of this in a way? Because when you say reflection, as you've just said, I was thinking, well, actually, we're always saying what I reflecting or what they reflect on. And actually, how can we get some kind of commonality of reflection?
Mm.
And I suddenly hit on the idea about time.
Indeed, yeah.
Because time has elapsed, good amount of clock time has elapsed. But I think in that opening chat we had, and I remember walking down the canal with you in Sheffield, we were very conscious of different elements of time, weren't we? You know, we were conscious of the future. We were conscious of a historical past, weren't we, that created that?
Yes, certainly. And specifically because of the canal basin in Sheffield, because it was refurbished a few years ago and now has very modern, contemporary buildings around for people to live in and work in and hotels. But, of course, within a few steps on the towpath, you're going back to the original Industrial Revolution. And the buildings actually are still exactly the same. They've never changed.
No. But by the same token, you know, you're working with a digital technology all the time and you're very comfortable with that. And you've got that whole spirit of the digital technology in your work.
Yes.
We're both conscious of that and conscious of the modern world around us with cars going past them, which hardly are at all conscious of that same canal that we're walking on underneath. And so when I came away from it after quite a long time, it suddenly struck me that we turn the whole thing round and think not about ourselves or we or they or any one of these other pronouns we might use, but actually to think about time as a figure. So because you're in the present, or you might be in the future, or you might be in the past, or you might be spiritually somewhere inconceivable to any kind of clock time or metaphysical time, mightn't you?
Certainly, and I mean, you can talk about it, it's been talked about for almost any thing that anybody does in sport or in writing or whatever, and people commonly call it the zone. And when I take pictures these days, I can get into the zone, as it were, within a matter of seconds. It used to take me quite a long time.
Yes.
But I learnt over the years how to switch it on. And I can switch it on, actually, very, very quickly.
Yes.
Which is a huge benefit, because I can switch everything else off.
Yeah, and I think in that very opening meeting we had in Hathersage, down by the river, I think somehow we got into that zone together, didn't we?
We did, yes, almost immediately. Yes.
Through our conversation, which surprised us both, really, didn't it?
Yes, it did, because whenever I've talked, because I've been doing and thinking about the reflections for almost 30 years, but I'd never had a conversation with somebody else who got it that quickly and immediately latched on to how I thought about the reflections and the fact that it changes the way we view things. Other people who bought my work, and that's very good, but they've only really seen it in terms of, I like that image, I like the reflection, but actually it fits my decor and the colour.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking about anything other than that.
Yes.
And in one sense, that's fine.
Yes.
But in lots of ways, that wasn't very satisfactory.
No. And I think coming away from it and having time away from it, it suddenly struck me forcibly that we could think about the whole thing as not our own reflections, but time's reflection. And we think of time as a figure, a trope, if you like, some kind of figure that's always there with us, but actually never is always hidden as well. I mean, we don't often say, well, I'm here in the present, or I'm spiritually here, or whatever, do we? We just simply assume that there is some time going on.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, from the water side of things, what I've found is that the water connects to the landscape. What you're seeing is a reflection of what's around. If it's a very rough day or a very poor light, then actually you get no reflection or very little. All you get is ripples on the water. You need to have very particular conditions in order to give you what you need, and the benefit of that is that you then reflect the world that's around you. And I mean, it may actually only be clouds, but it could be trees, it could be buildings, it could be people.
Yes, yes. And I think so that was, I mean, one other thing that interested me a lot, thinking about the people and all those things around that could be there, that a lot of people look at your work, and you said this, and they say, oh, well, that's beautiful. And I remember, and I was quite intrigued by this, and also quite excited, really. You said, well, you weren't sure about this notion of beauty, really.
No, I found that difficult as a concept, like other artists, thinking of your work just as beautiful. Is a difficult concept to take on board.
Yes, and I think one of the things that then made me think about is, clearly you didn't want to be located in some kind of romantic view of the world.
No, indeed.
And often I notice, particularly in your reflections on architectural drawings, how you take away lots of the colour.
Yes.
You've talked to me about this, and also it's obvious in your various artworks. You have the lines, but you have a lot of dark there.
Yes.
A lot of black space. And it struck me from that what we're really concerned about is something quite mysterious going on here, which is quite separate from, and we want to separate ourselves and situate ourselves as our work away from the romantics. Okay, there is a beautiful side to it, but yes, maybe we need to rethink, reconceive how we understand beauty.
Yes, certainly. And something on the television I was watching the other night, which was an interesting programme, and they were talking about dark matter, and over 80% of not just our world, but the universe is dark matter, but we don't really understand it.
Yeah.
But in a sense, the reason that I go for the dark is my very mediocre attempt to think about things in the dark, and that dark matter, because that's what glues everything together.
Well, I think coming into it from a slightly different angle, I mean, the thing that struck me about that with beauty, when you talked to me about that, I remember reading the poet Rainer Maria Rilke, who I really enjoy, and he talks about beauty as something which creates great anxiety for us. Absolute great anxiety for us. And I also recall just recently there's been a film made called Free Solo, which Alex Honnold, the leading climber of contemporary time, climbed this huge 3,000 foot granite wall in America, and it's caused a lot big stir. It's even won something at the Oscars for the documentary. And he talked about beauty in the sense of something with great anxiety around it. And when I look at the darkness there in some of your reflections, that those blacks and the absence of colour, what struck me there was a sense of anxiety, a sense of concern. And what made me think then was, well, we live in Europe, and yet we've got some kind of process going on, we're cutting ourselves off from Europe. But actually, one can't help but think about the history of Europe in the Second World War and beyond.
Yes.
And we're thinking not only about Germany here, but also about the Gulag in Russia and surrounding states, and how those two huge power forces, those huge powers, kind of created a situation which killed over 40 million people.
Yeah.
In the course of about 12 years.
And it's frightening now to think that some of those sounds, some of those things that happened are beginning to repeat themselves.
And so that anxiety, that mystery that comes out in your work is something that kind of, if one starts to become historical a little bit and starts to locate some of the spirit of this, I thought, well, actually it comes out. And when we started talking, you and I wrote some stuff, you kind of responded saying that really kind of connects, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that true?
Yes. And the benefit of this is the fact that because we came this thing that we're now working on from very separate points of view, the real benefit is that we both bring something very special to it. And I find that your words then inspire me in terms of my artwork and t'other way around.
Yes.
And that is a very rare thing.
Yes, yes. And I think what I saw from your one of your statements, you know, you were you're concerned about what you call the Anthropocene, you know, and,
yes.
Which is obviously a controversial term in itself. And I think that concern with the Anthropocene and the effect of this great body of human beings, you know, 7 billion of us or more on the Earth, and the effects that we're having on the Earth. And it's emerging there in your art, in those dark spaces.
And, yes.
And I was thinking it historically and philosophically in terms of not just the Second World War and the Holocaust, but also the Gulag in Russia and surrounding states. And then thinking about the emergence of the new right around the world now.
Yes.
What seemed to strike me then was that if we have time's reflection, time is not limited to you or I. It's not partitioned by anything, is it?
No.
Time's reflection, time as this figure, connects all our work together.
Yes.
And I think in terms of the process that we are undergoing, what I was thinking about, what I was talking about, suggesting to you earlier on, you seem to relate to, Aristotle, I think, had this word poesy. Poesy for him was something where you make things with the resources at your disposal at the
yes.
time. And there wasn't, in his time, over 2,000 years ago, there wasn't this partitioning.
Yes.
You were involved in poesy. I can be involved in poesy. We can be one and the same work of poesy. So this time's reflection is within this poetic framing.
It certainly is, and also the fact that In my case, I only ever use the light that's given me on any given day.
Yes.
So I'm not searching and standing about waiting for something to happen.
Which is the traditional
Is a traditional way of viewing it. I just think, go out and think, okay, I'm just going. I don't know what's going to happen.
You're going to work with the resource
but
there.
But I'm going to work with what's there. And that also in terms of the landscape or buildings or water, but also in terms of how the light is. And yeah. It's very rare that I don't come back with something interesting because of that.
Yeah. And I think in terms of our booklet then, what we're putting together is an introduction to us. We've then got something where we're pulling together your work and my work in a way which becomes one piece of work.
Indeed it does, yes.
And we've got to find ways of being the challenge really, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. To find ways.
Yeah.
Of enabling people to experience that as one piece of work, not two separate pieces
That's right,
of work.
Yes.
It's an interplay, yeah, of several dimensions, really, isn't it?
And that the experience of just doing that, or at least attempting to do it, is a fascinating thing in itself.
Yes.
Also, then connecting with other people who can then hopefully look at what we're doing and see straight away where we're going with it and what we're trying to achieve.
Yes, yeah.
Great, really good. That was 16 and a half minutes.
Was it?
Was it?
Yeah.